This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, October 3, 2017. State House reporter Christian Wade is writing that Governor Charlie Baker said he was horrified by Sunday night's shooting in Las Vegas and offered condolences to families of the dead and injured. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren said she was heartsick and called for action to stop gun violence. Representative Seth Moulton said he would decline to observe a moment of silence on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives in protest of inaction on gun control. Moulton is quoted as saying, "Now is not a moment for silence, it's a time for action." The Bay State's elected leaders reacted with a mix of sadness and outrage to the shooting massacre at a country music concert on the Las Vegas Strip that left 58 dead and more than 500 injured. The lone gunman, 64-year-old Stephen Paddock of Nevada, was found dead in his room on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. More on the story in today's editions of our local papers from the State House reporter Christian Wade. The Lynn Ferry gets a boost with the release of a report. Bill Newell has that story.
Rick, Thomas Grillo from The Item writes this on today's front page. Despite the high operating expenses, a conservative Boston think tank found ferry service is cost-effective compared to other MBTA options. A study of water transportation by the Pioneer Institute suggests more ferries could provide an opportunity for the cash-strapped transit agency to expand service without the expensive investment of expanding commuter lines or buying new trains. The T operates ferries in Hingham, Hull, Charlestown, downtown Boston, Logan International Airport, and until last week, from Lynn to Boston. State Senator and Lynn mayoral candidate Thomas McGee said he and his staff were consulted by the survey's authors. Quote, "The study strongly reflects what I've felt for a long time, that water transportation is a sensible investment for the region," he said. "It's an opportunity we need to take advantage of." Mayor Judith Flanagan Kennedy could not be immediately reached for comment. Officials from the Massachusetts Department of Transportation declined a request for an interview. In a statement, they said the Pioneer study includes helpful information and they could look forward to a continued dialogue on the water transportation issues. In an email, MBTA spokesman Joe Passatoro said, "The MBTA appreciated the fact that the ferry service has the highest fare recovery ratio and the best on-time performance of any of the T's modes of transportation. Commuter boat service has some of the most dedicated and satisfied customers at the T. And this fall's arrival of two new catamarans will allow us to continue to provide high-quality service between Hingham and Boston." The T has signaled its recognition of water transportation's potential to reduce congestion and deliver environmental benefits. Despite comprising a tiny percentage of its overall operations, the T's FY15 through 19 capital investment program dedicates $42 million to ferry service, or about 1% of the overall capital expenditures. There's much more in this story in today's edition of the Daily Item. For North Shore Today, MSO News Sports, I'm Bill Newell. Rick?
All righty, Bill. Thank you, sir. Ariana McNeil writes in today's Salem News, "Becoming resident curators at the state-owned Dodge House was a dream opportunity for Kevin Kaminsky and his wife Maureen Clark, but it came with a major snag, being charged town property taxes on a home that is not theirs. The couple moved into the late 18th century farmhouse in Hamilton. Kaminsky said it could be older, like early to mid-18th century. Back in 2012, as part of the State Department of Conservation and Recreation's Historic Curatorship Program, which allows people to live in historic state-owned homes and restore them to their former glory. Though Kaminsky and Clark don't own the home, they were issued a 2013 tax bill for $7,000 from the town and have received the property tax bills ever since. Kaminsky said he paid the first two bills, but since has refused. Now the town has hired an attorney to take Kaminsky and Clark to land court, and Kaminsky has been attempting to mount support for a bill that would make all homes under the curatorship program tax-free." More on the story written by Ariana McNeil in today's Salem News. And Ray Lamont writes in the Gloucester Times, "Some remembered his bugling to spark the crowd at Newell Stadium during Gloucester High School football games. Others recalled his throwing down pieces of lumber onto a stage to drive home a point about the deteriorating condition of Gloucester City Hall. But most of all, Most Gloucester residents Monday remembered Daniel J. Roberti, who died Sunday morning, as the man who was part of Gloucester's election scene for more than four decades, and as one who never gave up his pursuit of someday somehow becoming the city's mayor. Roberti, who was 86, made his 22nd run for mayor this year, finishing third and was eliminated in the September 19 preliminary. He never came close to winning the seat in City Hall's corner office, but he was a familiar figure around election time, often handing out handmade election stickers and campaigning from the traffic island at Tally's Corner. He also collected many of his nomination signatures this year while greeting and chatting with voters outside the Gloucester post office. Gloucester Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken is quoted as saying, "He was a local political icon. I grew up knowing him as an icon and for doing what he did. I think I still have one of his orange neon bumper stickers from 15 or 20 years ago. It breaks my heart that he's gone." I think we can all echo that sentiment. More on the story written by Ray Lamont in today's Gloucester Times. This is MSO News Sports.